I got to thinking, you know, how in the world is a person going to remember things that I said 3 and 4 weeks ago? So I thought, well, I'll type it up. And what I typed up is what I have in my notes. So obviously there's a lot of comments about each item that are not there. Let me pray to start. Father in heaven, we need your control. We want your control. We want your spirit to be the one who speaks to our hearts, for surely the words of man cannot speak to the heart. Just, Father, as I shared facts about Dale, when Dale shares it, we're hearing his heart. And so, Father, we pray that you will speak to our hearts regarding these matters of prayer. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, an add-on thought came regarding catharsis. Do you remember me using that term, catharsis, and how so frequently when somebody responds to an invitation, they are just coming and they're having a cathartic experience? And I was very inept in explaining it. So when I went home, I went to the dictionary and I looked up catharsis. And the definition is the purging of emotions, relieving of emotional tension. Another one of the definitions was a discharge of pent up socially unacceptable effects. Now, let me put that into our religious context. When I said that there are times, now listen, I said this last week, I'm absolutely in favor of a properly given, properly timed invitation.
Amen.
Okay? So what I'm about to say should not be taken as anything against the right time and place of invitation. Nevertheless, what I said was a lot of times when people respond to an invitation, all they're having is a catharsis. They have pent up guilt about the way they've been living, things they're doing, genuine conviction of the Spirit. Okay? That gives them guilt about what they've been doing, how they've been thinking, how they've been living. And so an invitation's given, and they go forward not seeking actual repentance, but what they're doing is just getting a relief from that pent-up emotion and guilt. Okay, and what they're doing by going forward, they're doing something. Their emphasis on this word "doing," they're doing something that gives them a relief of their emotions and how they've been feeling about this. Mm-hmm. They have no actual intention of changing from it. They have no actual intentions of being different, but they are so stressed out by whatever, and an invitation's given, and now they can do something, and they do, and they go, and it's almost as if they're wishing for something to happen. Faith and wishing are two different things. They share not the same parent. And people who just wish for things to be different, that's how they use an invitation then.
Come on.
But they get up, they feel good. I said, they think, boy, it's like a burden lifted. Well, now we've heard that phrase properly used.
Yep.
When a person's repenting and the burden of sin has been lifted. But in this case, they just simply have the lifting of the burden of stress, strain from the pent-up emotions. They're not repenting. They're just trying to get rid of the pent-up emotions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking these things through? Now there's times that same person could come another time when under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they are indeed ready to repent and are intending to repent. They're intending to change. They don't know how, but they're desiring to change. And changing is going to be the goal. And they're going to do whatever they need to do to change. And their response to the invitation is a time when they make that commitment to God. Now, some people do that sitting in their pew. And this is why you hear evangelists and preachers like Pastor and I say, you know, you may be able to deal with it right there in the pew where you're standing. That's what we're meaning. Sometimes it's a come to the altar. Sometimes it's a where you're standing. There's a few, like 1 out of 50. And I haven't done any research for that much. But like 1 out of 50, in other words, very, very few, who will, when they go home, deal with it.
That's right.
And repent. That can't happen. But often between here, where the Spirit's convicting, until they get home, just like the birds that come and snatch the seeds.
Oh, come on.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says.
Yes,
sir.
Okay? So that's why evangelists and pastors urge people to deal with it while God is working. But I'm telling you, it's got to be a response to God, not just, I can't deal with this anymore. I've got to do something. Oh, an invitation. That's what I can do. And then other people who are aware of this, they'll see me doing something. And they'll think I've dealt with it. Oh, no, I don't think people consciously think that through.
No, that's right.
Okay, because that would take a devious mind. Not that people can't be that. But most don't really think it through. But that's just part of the way they're working. Because they're not actually going to repent. So that's what catharsis is. Look it up in the dictionary. It was a whole lot. That definition was even more than what I thought. Okay? Purging of emotions. What's purging? Yeah. Like when you throw up, you get rid of that. You got a sore. Okay. Even just a plain old pimple. Gross, huh? You squeeze it, and out comes the pus. You got a larger sore, and sometimes you'll take a needle. Okay. Or you might even take a real sharp little knife. Like a razor blade. And you might just cut that sore a little bit. You never done that? And you want to get that, ooh, that, yeah, ooh, you, ooh, look at that. You want to get rid of it. Now I'm trying to put humor into this thing, but you're purging it. You're purging it. Okay? All right. Now tonight we're going to start in the section, what? Section 2, what we must pray for. We're starting with number 4, and that is deliverance from our troubles. 25, verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. All right, David, right away there, lets us know that the troubles in his heart that he was dealing with have grown. And there are situations where when we have troubles, problems within our inner being, if we don't deal with them, they'll grow. And the dealing is to repent of them. What does 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what?
Cleanse
us. Purging. Cleanse us. And troubles can grow, but we need them to be dealt with. And that's what he says here in verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Now you see, David, his distresses grew. His problems of his heart grew. And he asked God to bring him out of them. And that's why this is called deliverance from our troubles. Verse 18, look upon mine affliction. He's talking to God. Look upon mine affliction and my pain. Okay, affliction and pain. Now, was the affliction a physical problem that brought him pain? Maybe the affliction was not a physical problem. And I'm sure there would be ways to read in, Samuel and Kings, David's experiences, and we may be able to fit it into, time-wise, this particular psalm, and thereby would be able to determine what the affliction was. But now, that's study that's beyond this man's capability, okay? But there are Bible teachers who can go into it that way. But all I know, it says here in 18, look upon mine affliction and my pain. Maybe his affliction, his problems of whatever sort, we know he had trouble with Absalom and other people. Maybe that's the affliction, and it brought an actual pain. You know, you can have actual physical pain that come out of other kinds of stress.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we must make sure that we deal with repentance toward the part of affliction that is our part. Now, if we have affliction that somebody else causes, we can't deal with it, other than if we act in bitterness back.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey, we heard a message on that recently, didn't we?
Sunday school, yeah. Some heard it.
Yeah. Somebody, who knows that to talk to? No. Yeah. Bitterness. He had affliction. And you have affliction. And you can end up with bitterness. And boy, when that root of bitterness grows, you're in trouble. And that's why it's important to truly repent of these things. But in verse 18, he says, look upon mine affliction and my pain. Here's some insight. And forgive all my sins. Wow, some of his affliction and pain, he connects, or it seems like, it's in the same thought. Verse 18, okay, the same thought is forgive all my sins. So it's very possible his affliction and pain came about as a result of his sin, and he now wants deliverance. The song starting to come to my head, but I had not enough of it for me to even give the words. Oh, it's Palms of Victory. How many, anybody know that song? Heard it? Palms of Victory. Crowns of Glory.
Lester Roloff sings that. Yeah,
does he?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think deliverance is in there. I'm not sure, but I think. But it doesn't matter whether it is or not. And the point is this. Sometimes God will deliver us. Now, if it's from sins, we must confess it. Agree with what God says and forsake it. But sometimes he'll give deliverance. Now, he isn't going to give deliverance if your trouble is from sin. You have got to deal with your sin in order to get... But you know what deliverance is? Deliverance is when God takes that thing away from you. Deliverance is when God takes that thing away from you. I learned this from a friend of mine, and I speak his name simply, the Fords know him, and Monica would know him, Paul Dietz. And you wouldn't ordinarily, and you wouldn't ordinarily think of Paul as a deep spiritual man, but you be careful when you evaluate people, because there's more depth to a lot of people than what may show. And some people that appear to be very spiritual are actually very shallow. It's just they have a way of being able to talk and project themselves to appear spiritual. Well, Paul Dietz, never would have pretended to be spiritual. And most folks didn't perceive him to be that. But we were talking one time, and he said to me, he said, you know, Pastor, and I don't remember our subject, but he said, deliverance, that's when God takes something out of your life. He said, like cigarettes. He said, some people get saved, and what God has to do for them is deliver them from it.
That's good.
And so all of a sudden, they don't smoke anymore. They have no urge for it.
Amen.
But he said, then there's other people. They just struggle with that and struggle with that. And he said, those people, they get victory over it by their Christian growth.
It's good. It's a good observation.
See, a lot of times all we're praying for is deliverance. We want God to take it away. Ah, no effort on my part. God just took it away. I got saved. No more did I want a cigarette. I remember a fellow. He was my first convert at Bell Run Church. And Larry Carlson was his name. And again, I don't know if anybody knows. It doesn't matter. He doesn't live around here anymore. Long since gone. And we'd go out visitation, and there he had his, you know, little rectangular box. And, geez, that's not good for visitation. And he said to me one time, he said, this probably doesn't help. And I said, nope, Larry, it doesn't. God didn't deliver him from tobacco. And it struggled him. As a matter of fact, there was one point where I thought it was going to defeat him. He came and he talked to me, and my advice to him was, Larry, this is going to sound strange. I'll explain it after I say it. But please forget about stopping smoking. Please forget about stopping. I'm not going to tell you don't pray about it, but just try not to deal with it. What you need to do is grow in all other areas of your life. And as you grow spiritually in other areas of your life, you're going to begin to have the strength to deal with that. But you don't have the strength now to deal with that. So you can't overcome it. And my conversation with Brother Paul was years afterwards, so I didn't know to tell him God didn't deliver you. You need to just grow out of it. But that's what it was. God didn't deliver him. And it was up to him, Larry, who had a cigarette tobacco problem. It was up to him to overcome it. But how was he going to do it? He was going to do it by growing in any and every other area of his Christian life. And as he would grow, in general, I'll say, overall, now he's going to have the strength. Listen, if the devil has your eyes focused on one weakness that you have, that was Larry. The devil had him focused on one thing. And of course, it seemed like a good thing to be focused on, get rid of the cigarettes. But it wasn't. Because that one thing kept him from focusing on other necessary things. And you get focused on any one thing, and the devil will keep you from growing in other areas that are necessary to overcome what God wants to do in your life. You see, we have responsibilities in growth. Again, a lot of times we think, well, we need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I can't do it by my works. It's got to come by God's works. And so we're just waiting for God to work. Feel the same way. I have the same desires. I just can't do it. I may as well give up. Until we give up. Why pray about it? Doesn't seem to take it away. Why bother reading my Bible? Doesn't seem to make a difference. As a matter of fact, I doesn't seem to matter if I stay home from church. You know, because that doesn't seem to be helping me. I'm still, and what's up? The devil's got you focused in one area, and through that one area, he's going to defeat you. Even though it's true, you don't have to do that, you don't have to stop that, you don't have that in your life, but the fact of the matter is, just forget about it. I think I went so far as to tell Larry, just go ahead and smoke. Now, why did he smoke? Either because he had a bad nicotine habit or because he liked it. I remember I was talking with one fellow already about drinking, and I told him, I said, now, you're drinking because you like it. I said, tastes good to you, doesn't it? He said, yeah, and I didn't expect to hear the preacher say that. Yeah. Well, that's why you drink, because you like it.
Come on.
You got to deal with that first. I did that with another fellow, different fellow. It's all coming back to me. The different fellow, as far as it was a lady. She's in heaven now, so I can say her name, Ann Mix. Okay? She, I didn't know she smoked. I went to visit her, I don't know how many times. I led her husband to the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful experience that was. But I don't have time tonight to tell you that. But I go visit her, and I don't know. It may have been 10 years later, after visiting her, that I found out that she had a tobacco habit. And somebody said, you couldn't smell it? I said, no, I couldn't smell it. And neither could I smell perfume everywhere, you know, spray everywhere. I'm a fail with the best nose. I couldn't smell it. But when I finally found out about it, and we talked about it, I said, Ann, you know your problem? She said, what's that? I said, you like it? She said, yes, I do. That's why I smoke. I like to do it. Well, I said, no, that's what you need to pray about. And that's what you need to deal with. You know, I don't know before she died if she ever got victory on it or not. But fortunately, her salvation was not tied.
That's right.
Back. Okay? Now, that's not, that doesn't mean it's okay to do it, because she never had victory in that area. And what other areas, then, was God not able to use her in because she never got victory in that one? All right. Well, we made great progress tonight. One point. One sub-point. Yeah, well, I hope. So growth is how you're going to overcome many, many things. If it's not taken away easily or quickly, then God's saying, all right, get it through growth. Let's go to prayer groups. Thank you.
You bared your heart as a pastor tonight.
Well, yeah. All them people came to mind. Not in my preparation, just in the action of speaking.
Great. I gotta get out. That means you need to.